produced by Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall. This is Yes Music Podcast, episode 414. What did they do next? Part 9A, Trevor Horn.
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 414 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host, Mark Anthony Kay, will be along a little bit later on. Please do get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. This week, Mark and I went in search of the first thing Trevor Horn did after leaving Yes, as reluctant frontman. He threw himself into production with the support and encouragement of his wife, and the first project was the band Dollar. So we've been doing a bit of research in our own minds and on the interwebs to see what we can remember and find out about this band and Trevor Horn's involvement with it. It's actually quite a bit more interesting than I thought it was going to be. Since I last graced the virtual airwaves, things have perhaps unsurprisingly been going on around the social webs. So here are a few highlights. On the YMP Facebook page, Keith Hoisington spotted a Northern Life magazine interview with Steve Howe, where he reveals that Alan White will be playing more of the set in 2020. Great news, of course. Brian Neeson also spotted that update on Alan's health. Mark announced some important information about his forthcoming vinyl pre-order, and I added another item spotted by Keith. This time it's the latest version of John Anderson's long-awaited follow-up to Elias, called Zamran. But as Jeffrey Mason points out, this clip is contained within a previously issued one, so this isn't exactly new material. If it does mean John is close to finishing it, however, it will be great. In the visitor posts, Doug Curran added his copy of Fragile on its 48th anniversary, which is signed by everyone, including Roger Dean. His new copy of the second part of In Continuum's Acceleration Theory, which features amongst many others John Davison, and his Christmas card from Rick Wakeman. There's a great cartoon on that one. Jeffrey Mason added the YouTube clip of John Anderson and the Warriors playing a tune in the film Just For You, in honour of Dave Watkinson's new book, and Brian Sullivan found sheet music to Close to the Edge, which looks amazing. Adrian Beebe added a thoughtful post. He says, "Just listen to episode 413 and your discussion about whether tribute band guitarist Oliver Day could succeed Steve Howe. This raises a lot of questions about the fundamental nature of Yes post Steve and Alan. Will it effectively become a tribute band to itself? Like Ouroboros, the snake that swallows its own tail. How will it differ from a tribute band? I guess the answer to that is it has to produce new material." This led me to thinking about the options facing our favourite musos. Option one is to just go on, replacing band members with tribute band members until the fan base dies off in around 20 years' time. Option two is to call it a day, go out with a bang rather than a whimper, or a tribute to a whimper. Option three is create a new incarnation of the band, Yes Mark II. Shared heritage, but different people and different identity. Option four, holograms and some powerful AI. A Yes algorithm. Option five, still working on that. Then he comes back with, just figured out option five. Take DNA samples from John, Steve, Rick, Alan and Billy and clone them. That's it. Jurassic Rock. Over on Twitter, Mike O'Connor tweeted that the YMP and Progressive Palaver crossover episode had convinced Radio Free Phoenix to start playing selections from Tormato, and the mighty Miguel Falcao advertised his online bass lessons. The first one of those is a joke, clearly. It was very sad indeed to hear of the passing of Louis Hayashikawa Levin, who alongside husband Jerry took many great shots of Yes, as Yes Official put it. Brian Dilly says a bar Yes has opened in Manchester with four floors of Yes music. Not really. And Stuart Penny tweeted the original Bill Bruford Melody Maker question. He asked about how much a second-hand set of Vibes would cost, as he wanted to take up the instrument. Billy Sherwood is quoted by Yes Official saying, "I think now is one of those times when we've again stumbled into a chemistry that's just undeniable." And Bo Dure says, "Not sure if you know this, but in the popular Netflix series Last Chance You, Season 4, Episode 7, 20 minutes and 20 seconds into the episode, someone is listening to Does It Really Happen?" Good choice, I'd say. Paul Corry sent me a link to the Prog Rock Files show where Steve Howe was interviewed, and they played a lot of Yes, including From a Page, and I've added that link to the show notes. So thank you very much indeed to everyone who's been in touch in any way this week.
I've heard all Yes Music podcasts every week. I love to hear what Kevin says. I've heard all Yes Music podcasts every week. I love to hear what Kevin says.
I'm here with Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, very cold. It's like minus 17 with the wind here, so it's very frosty.
Okay, well, it's quite mild and boring, the weather where I am at the moment, but nothing like what you've got. Anyway, so this is the first part of our next, What Did They Do Next?, which is about Trevor Horn this time. And I think we've got an interesting one coming up about Steve Howe as well, but we'll come back to that another time. So this is where we talk about what he did next and our initial thoughts on what that was. And then next week we'll come back and talk about the album that he created first after leaving the band. But before we do that, I'm just going to read you a tiny bit from John Kirkman's dialogue book, and it's volume one, where John speaks to Trevor Horn about leaving Yes, well, a little bit about it anyway. And before he says what he did next, there's a fascinating little conversation which he repeats that he had with his wife just after he left Yes. And he says, well, you can manage me now. So he's asking his wife to manage him because I don't have a partner. And she said, well, if I'm going to manage you, forget about being an artist. It's not really your thing. You should be a producer because you could be the best producer in the world. That's what you're really good at. So that's what I started to do, says Trevor, and I forgot about Yes, but I had a couple of things that definitely came from it. One was it made me fearless. Nobody could impress me. I'd effing done 3 nights at Madison Square Garden, so you can't muscle me, mate, you know? And I'd been through the fire, right, he says. And John Kirkman says, yes, and come through the other side. And Trevor says, and come through the other side. So even if you listen to the first record my late wife got me to produce, Jill got me to produce Hand Held in Black and White. There's a bit of Yes in it. And John says, Videotech by Dollar, that's another one. And then he talks about what Chris Squire had taught him in Yes. He says, I don't know if Chris had shown me something. I don't know. I'd learned something from him about vocal harmonies. But it's one of those things you can't explain. There are no rules. Okay, so he does mention there, very briefly, Hand Held in Black and White and Videotech by Dollar. So those were two songs which he created with this band, Dollar. So when I told you, Mark, we're going to talk about Dollar, is that a band you'd ever heard of?
I've never heard of this band before. That's why when I first heard you mention it, it kind of did pique my interest because, you know, Trevor Horn has been known to be involved with many different types of bands, but they always end up being very interesting sounding records.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I thought it might be a bit dull, to be honest, because coming from drama and all the Yes work that he did and then coming to produce what was essentially my recollection, and I'll talk about my recollections a bit more in a second, a pop act was a bit odd. but in fact, I found out there are quite a few Yes links, and it's an interesting story in itself. So, as we say, that band was Dollar that he went off to produce their second album. Their first album had been very unsuccessful, but then came Trevor Horn. So Dollar was basically a man and a woman who were at one stage romantically linked, and the slightly unusual name, Teresa Bazaar and David Van Day, not his real name. His name was just Day, not Van Day, but anyway. And he was a fascinating character because a great singer, actually, and they both wrote the songs as well. Come back to that in a minute. But they were proper musicians. They'd been through a few bands and done a few things and very good singers. And then David Van Day, in more recent years in the UK, went on that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here programme. Is that something you have in Canada, Mark?
They have similar types of shows, although it's not called that here. Mm. They have, you know, similar types of these celebrity shows. going on, but we mainly have these kind of ones where we have musicians who go and they try to, you know, find young and up and coming singers and talent like that. They don't really have this much, these kinds of other shows. We have something similar, but it's called Big Brother, but it rarely has to do with big celebrities.
Yes. So anyway, David Van Day went on that, and he's been slightly controversial with things like plastic surgery and so on. So he's one of those people who's now mostly famous for being famous. But back when Dollar was taken over by Trevor Horn to produce, he was very much in the pop world. And I actually remember the band really, really well. They didn't chart at all in the US, as far as I can see, apart from the first thing they did, really, which only made it to number 74 in the US. So really, that's probably why over that side of the Atlantic, you've never heard of these guys. But I remember very distinctly their videos, their appearances on Top of the Pops, their style, pure 80s hairdos and clothes, and various photo shoots where they were both, the gentleman and the lady, wearing shirts open to the waist, if you can imagine it. So, some real 80s stuff going on there. And two songs definitely stick in my memory. One was Videotech, which I thought really sort of captured the age of MTV, even with the name, but the way it's produced as well, and we'll come back to that next week. It's a really catchy pop hit. And the other one was called Mirror, Mirror. I wasn't actually aware of Handheld in Black and White, which was one of five singles from this album. So this was their second album, the Dollar album. They weren't a favourite of mine, but certainly I knew about them. I enjoyed listening to their music when I was 12. So have you gone and sampled some of this music, Mark?
Yeah, I went and took a little quick listen to it because I wanted to give myself a general like first impression. I didn't want to dig too deep because I wanted to save that for next week. Mm. But my first impression of it is that it's very much, you know, obviously pop music, and it's very much geared towards the sort of MTV audience. Mm-hmm. And it's also, on first listen, it definitely has some notable Trevor Horn sort of trademarks.
Yeah.
These kind of very airy synthesizers, and even in the way that the band looks, because I remember watching a video once where Trevor Horn was doing a production meeting with his wife and another gentleman, and they were always gung-ho about when they were dealing with artists that they didn't want to deal with any quote-unquote aging stars. They wanted to deal with more young and posh and fresh looking people, and that was very much their thing. So I think all of that was kind of here with this act that they were working with.
Yeah, absolutely was. That sounds exactly right for this. And as you say, Trevor's late wife seems to have been, you know, pretty much an equal partner in landing these production jobs. And certainly the music, as you've said, is not prog. But then again, and I was sort of wondering what he would have thought of this kind of music. But of course, in his career, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, you know, to Yes, the whole spectrum he's been interested in and interested in writing for and producing. And of course, his main claim to fame, apart from Yes for us people, is Video Killed the Radio Star with the Buggles. And the Buggles were, of course, a techno and pop outfit. But this is shortly after, and it's something that he talks about quite a bit. This is shortly after playing Madison Square Gardens, as he said in the interview that I read out earlier with Yes. So this is coming to something completely different. And I suppose it points out again the virtuosity, the adaptability of members of Yes, when you've got people like Trevor Rabin who had that separate career and still has that separate career of Hollywood soundtrack writing. So you've got to know what you're doing, as we said very recently. You've got to know what you're doing to be a member of Yes in terms of the music and so on. And perhaps it's not too far removed from fronting Yes, which I think Trevor probably regrets that whole situation with hindsight.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it's probably something he sort of regrets. But I mean, on the other hand, it did probably give him some sort of insight into that world, right? And it also probably gave him, you know, that kind of hard edge that he was talking about after, where, you know, nobody could impress him because, you know, he did the Madison Square Garden. So if he didn't do that, he wouldn't have the kind of stuff to fall back on, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was valuable for him as much as it was detrimental.
Yeah. And he clearly valued it. It was valuable for him, and he clearly valued it as well, because he invited them onto his Prince's Trust tribute to Trevor Horn concert at Wembley Arena in November 2004. And that's where another one of the Yes connections comes from, because various members of Yes turned up at that event and played as well. They played Unreal Lonely Heart. And that's one of those famous occasions where certain members of Yes have turned up and are playing who'd never played together before, because Jeff Downes was there. And Trevor Rabin was there, and Chris Squire was there, I think, and John Anderson.
Steve Howe,
yeah. Was John Anderson there? I'm not sure.
No.
So a very interesting lineup of Yes, and then he asked Dollar to come on as well. So David and Teresa, they both performed, and Trevor Horn, I think, was playing the bass, and his full house band was playing with them. Jeff Downes was playing, Bruce Woolley, who was the third member of the Buggles, who co-wrote Video Killed the Radio Star, and Dudley, Steve Lipson, and Lol Cream, who was a member of 10cc, amongst others. The backing vocals, Trevor was on the backing vocals, along with the Buggles girls, as they're described here, Linda Allen and Debbie Doss. So he's obviously very proud of it, because he got them to come along and sing. And actually, no, that's 2004, and they both sang, I listened to it today, they both sang absolutely brilliantly. So clearly, you know, he looks back at that time with great, great affection, and really does still value, as I say, working with these people.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously he should, because like you mentioned earlier, this is a record that had 5 singles off of it. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, there's not very many bands that do that. And like you said, for that kind of big affair, he had them on there. And you know, he had Yes, he had Seal, he had the Pet Shop Boys, he had Frankie Goes to Hollywood, he had lots of huge acts that he got involved with on there. So obviously he must see them on the same level if he's going on there and bringing them on there and playing with them. I mean, think about it, Seal is probably one of the biggest artists that he had worked with, and you know, they're on the same concert stage as he is. So obviously that shows you how much he held importance with this Dollar band.
Absolutely. And also, I suppose part of his being proud of it is because of the writing credits on the album itself. So we've got, well, we'll come back to this properly next week, but Mirror Mirror, which is the first song on the album, was written by Trevor Horn and Bruce Woolley from, as I say, the Buggles. The second, Give Me Back My Heart, was written by Horn and Simon Darlow. Handheld in Black and White, as we've just been saying, is Horn and Woolley again. Now, there are several there which were the Van Day Bazaar. But we come back to Horn and Darlow, Videotech. Yep, and in fact, that's the last one. So several of those songs written or co-written by Trevor Horn. So, you know, that's his opportunity, isn't it, to put in some of those techniques that he was working on and would develop with his co-contributors there to this album in terms of the production and engineering of this album, which he would then go on to develop further with The Art of Noise and Yes on 90125. So there should be plenty to look out for.
Yeah, exactly. I do find it interesting, though, too, that of the singles that were released, I think pretty much all of them were the ones that he was involved with with the writing. Yeah. So there again, for all you young up-and-coming producers or who want to become producers, keep that in mind, because if you get involved with the writing, that means, you know, 2 or 3 times more of the money, because you get a production credit, plus you get a songwriting credit. That means more ching, ching, ching for you. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely right. So what started off as a slightly strange thing to be talking about on the Yes Music podcast actually turns out to be rather more interesting. So it'd be fascinating to hear what we think of the actual music when we go in depth about it next week. And between now and then, do have a listen to Dollar, someone that you've probably or possibly never heard of in your life before, but but maybe you've watched the the video of the Prince's Trust concert, and now you can listen to the whole album. The whole album is available on YouTube, and I'll put the links into the show notes for this week. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
This is Two Pence with Mark Anthony Kay and Kevin Mulrine.
So, Two Pence this week is very simple, straightforward. We're delighted that Alan White will be playing more of the set this year. So this news broke this week past, that Alan White is feeling better. He's recovered quite a bit and will be playing more than just the encore. He was basically coming on for the last section of the concerts, the last two concerts I went to see in the UK, certainly. So, good news for you, Mark?
Oh, obviously. I mean, Alan White is such a big part of this band and has always been one of the more impressive parts of the band, not only in studio, but live as well. And I remember when I first saw them on Union, he was definitely somebody who I was keeping an eye out for during the show. I mean, he did some fantastic work. And I mean, he's been such a, you know, his drumming style is all over some of these albums. Like my favorite album, Relayer, he did a fantastic job on that record. I mean, everything he's been on, he's done a great job. And even albums that he wasn't involved with, like, you know, I mean, talking about outside of Yes, like records like John Lennon's records and stuff like that, he's always done fantastic work.
Yeah, he has, and it wouldn't be the same without him, that's for sure. But it does raise some questions in my mind, which are around which parts exactly of the set he will be playing, because, you know, however well recovered he is, things like Sound Chaser, and it's a bit like the Holy Grail, isn't it, Sound Chaser? It's always the one that people talk about because of its complexity, because of its difficulty to play. So perhaps he will be playing some of the additional pieces apart from the Relayer songs. I mean, we've talked about this many times before. There are certainly parts of Relayer which he can play, and if he's recovered, he'll play a bit more of it perhaps. But still, and what a great position Jay Schellen is in, having the originator of those parts for Relayer particularly to rely on to, you know, show him the chops that he should be playing.
Well, exactly. I mean, if he had any, like you said, if he has any doubts or doesn't know what to do in certain sections, he has the man right there to fill in with it. But I'm going to make a guess, Kevin. My suspicion is this. I think that Jay Schellen is going to start off doing Gates, Delirium. He'll also do Sound Chaser for the most part, but I have a feeling maybe for Sound Chaser they might pull a Genesis, where they might do like a Chester Thompson and Phil Collins, where they might have both of them maybe involved somehow. But I mean, maybe he'll just be there kind of doing percussion or something like that during it. And then I have a really strong feeling that they're going to change drummers for To Be Over, because if there's one song that he could probably come in and do with ease compared to the other songs, it's probably that one, and then maybe continue from there with some other songs, because it sounds like he's able to play with a little bit more vigor now than maybe he did before.
Yeah, absolutely. But yes, of course, you've seen the band playing Gates of Delirium, and did Alan take part in that at all?
Not in the one that I saw. I know there was video of it before where he was just kind of sitting there with this little small satellite kit on the side, but he was not involved at all. On the one that I saw.
Yeah, okay. Well, that will be fascinating. But certainly we are absolutely delighted that Alan is obviously feeling better. And as you say, being able to play a bit more and with a bit more vigour, hopefully. And it'll be fantastic to see him. I'll get the chance to see him in, is it June? Can't remember now. Was it May? Can't remember. Anyway, really quite soon now, just a few months' time, I'll be able to feedback properly when I go and see the band in Birmingham. All right, so I think everyone will be delighted to see Alan White as much as we are. So do let us know in the comments on the show notes for this week if you agree with us that it's great to see Alan taking more part in the concerts in 2020. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
Olá, sou o Miguel Falcão, de Coimbra, Portugal. Estão a ouvir o Yes Music Podcast.
So, just before we go, here's the patron update. Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall. And Yes Music Podcast patrons are Mark James Lang, Martin Kjellberg, Michael O'Connor, Miguel Falcao, Neil Caffrey, Paul Hales, Paul Tomei, Paul Wilson, Peter Herndon, Lobate Scarp, Rachel Hadaway, Mark Zarkol Bags, Robert Naser, Scott Colombo, Scott Smith, Simon Barrow, Stephen Lamb, Steve Dill, Steve Perry, Steve Rode, Steve Scott, Stephen Raw, Terence Sadler, Tim Stannard, Todd Dudley, Tony Handley, Joseph Cottrell, Keith Hoisington, and William Hayes. Continued thanks to Robert and David. So we'll have the other half of those patrons next week. If you'd like to join them in helping the Yes Music podcast financially, then just go over to patreon.com, patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast. And a message for patrons out there, you can now log in to the Yes Music podcast website with your patron username and password, which will allow you to access discussions that we have via the Patreon group. So that's just about all the time we have this week. Next week, we'll be back talking about that Dollar album. But in the meantime, please do keep listening and getting involved via Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.